Welcome back to Security for Legal SaaS. I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan. Episode 19, Session Management. Last episode, we talked about JWTs and concluded that server-side sessions are often the better choice for user-facing legal SaaS. Today, we cover how to implement them properly.
And properly matters because a session token is a bearer credential. Anyone who possesses it has the user's access. No password required. No NFA challenge. If an attacker gets your session cookie, they are you, as far as the server is concerned.
Ugh, that's increasingly how breaches happen, isn't it?
Verizon's latest DBIR, their data breach investigations report, as we mentioned in episode 16, shows stolen session tokens replacing stolen passwords as the primary credential type in many attack chains. The reason is simple. Session tokens bypass MFA, multi-factor authentication, as we covered in earlier episodes. You can have the strongest multi-factor authentication in the world, but once the user has authenticated and received a session cookie, that cookie is the key. Steal it and you skip the entire authentication ceremony.
Let's start with generation. How should session IDs be created?
Three non-negotiable requirements. First, cryptographic randomness. Use your platform CSPRNG, cryptographically secure pseudo-random number generator, the source of unpredictable random values. That's crypto.randombytes in Node, os.urandom in Python, secure random in Java, never math random, never timestamp-based, never sequential. Second, sufficient entropy. OWASP, the Open Web Application Security Project, as we mentioned in episode 17, requires at least 128 bits. That's 16 bytes of random data. I'd recommend 256 bits for legal SS. Third, opacity. The session ID must be a meaningless blob of randomness. No encoded user IDs, no timestamps, no tenant identifiers. It reveals nothing.
Right. Why does opacity matter?
Because if the session ID contains structured data, even encoded, an attacker can analyze the pattern. If IDs increment sequentially, they can guess other valid sessions. If they contain timestamps, they can narrow the search space. If they contain user IDs, they leak information about your user base. A truly random opaque string gives an attacker nothing to work with except brute force against a 128-bit or 256-bit space, which is computationally infeasible.
Once you have a session ID, how do you transport it?
Cookies with every security attribute enabled, HTTP only, which prevents JavaScript from accessing the cookie. This means even if you have an XSS vulnerability, the attacker's injected script cannot read the session token. Secure. The cookie is only sent over HTTPS, never plain text HTTP. Same site set to strict. The cookie is not sent on cross-origin requests, which prevents CSRF attacks. And an appropriate expiry that matches your timeout policy.
I've seen people store tokens in local store instead. What's wrong with that?
Local store is accessible to any JavaScript running on the page. A single XSS vulnerability, one unescaped user input rendered in the DOM, and an attacker can exfiltrate every token in local store with one line of JavaScript. HTTP-only cookies are invisible to JavaScript entirely. The browser manages them. Even if your page is fully compromised with XSS, the attacker cannot read the session cookie. They have to trick the browser into sending requests on their behalf, which same site prevents.
Now, session lifecycle. What happens after creation?
The critical event is session renewal, also called rekeying. Every time a user's privilege level changes, you must generate a new session ID and destroy the old one. The most important moment is authentication. Before login, the user might have a pre-authentication session. For shopping carts, preferences, whatever. After login, that session now carries authenticated privilege. If you don't regenerate the ID, you're vulnerable to session fixation.
Walk me through that attack.
Session fixation. Step 1, the attacker visits your login page and receives a session cookie, Let's call it session ABC. Step 2. The attacker tricks the victim into using the same session ID. Maybe through a crafted URL with the session parameter, or by injecting the cookie via XSS on a related domain. Step 3. The victim authenticates. The server promotes session ABC from anonymous to authenticated. Step 4. The attacker uses session ABC. They're now authenticated as the victim. The fix is trivial. Regenerate the session ID on login. Session ABC dies. A new session XYZ is created. The attacker's copy of ABC is worthless.
What about timeouts? What's appropriate for legal SaaS?
Two types of timeout. Idle timeout. If there's no activity for a specified period, the session expires. NIST, the US. National Institute of Standards and Technology, which we referenced in episode 17. Their 863B publication requires 30 minutes for AAL2. Authenticator Assurance Level 2. The assurance level appropriate to legal SaaS. I'd lean toward 15 minutes for matters involving litigation strategy or privileged communications. Absolute timeout. The maximum session duration regardless of activity. 8 to 12 hours is typical. This prevents the scenario where a session stays alive indefinitely because the user leaves a tab open with periodic JavaScript activity.
And you mentioned renewal intervals earlier, rotating the session ID even during active use.
Every 15 minutes, generate a new session ID and invalidate the old one. The user doesn't notice. Their cookie updates silently. But if an attacker captured the old session ID, it's now invalid. This limits the window of exploitation for any stolen session to at most 15 minutes, even if the attacker avoids triggering any other detection.
Yeah. What about concurrent sessions? Should a lawyer be able to log in from multiple devices?
For legal SaaS, I recommend notify plus optional terminate. Allow multiple sessions. A lawyer might have their desktop at the office and their laptop at home. But notify them when a new session is created from an unrecognized device or location. Provide a dashboard showing all active sessions, device type, IP location, last activity time, and let them selectively terminate any session. Google does this well. If something looks suspicious, the user can kill it immediately.
What about session hijacking defenses beyond the cookie attributes?
Defense in depth. First, HTTPS everywhere with HSTS preloaded, so the cookie can never accidentally travel over plain text. Second, validate client characteristics on each request. Not hard block on IP change. Mobile users move between networks. But flag geographic impossibilities. If a session was active in Singapore and suddenly appears in London 10 minutes later, that's suspicious. Third, reauthentication for sensitive operations. Downloading case files, exporting client data, changing security settings, require the user to enter their password or complete MFA again, regardless of how fresh the session is.
Right, that's step up authentication.
Exactly. The session proves you're still the person who logged in this morning. The step of authentication proves you're still the person right now. At the moment, you're doing something that could cause irreversible harm if the session is compromised.
Server-side storage. What's the recommended approach?
Redis for the hot path. Session lookup happens on every single request, so it needs to be fast. Redis, the fast in-memory data store we mentioned in episode 14, gives you sub-millisecond reads and native TTL expiry. TTL being time to live, the countdown until a record automatically expires. Sessions automatically disappear when they time out. No cleanup jobs needed. PostgreSQL as a durable fallback. For audit trails, session history, compliance reporting, you can query, show me all sessions for this user in the last 30 days, or which sessions were active when this document was accessed. For legal SaaS, that queryability is essential for incident response.
Any legal SaaS specific considerations we haven't covered?
Shared workstations. Lawyers use court computers, library terminals, shared office stations. Absolute timeout of 30 minutes maximum for these environments, and ideally detect them via device fingerprinting, or require users to self-identify as using a shared device. Also, matter level session context. When a lawyer switches between matters, consider whether their session should carry permissions for all matters simultaneously or require explicit matter selection. Principle of least privilege says, only load permissions for the matter currently being accessed.
Next episode, OAuth 2.0 and OpenID Connect, delegated authentication, letting users log in with their firm's identity provider instead of maintaining separate credentials.
Until then, I'm Alice.
And I am Dan.
Security for Legal SaaS is a series written with AI assistance. Alice and Dan are AI-generated voices. No professional advice here, just education.